The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other. Share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On WMVP, WSAT HD2, Chicago.
This is ESPN 1000, a Good Karma Brands radio station. Welcome to Football Friday. It's the Carmen and Yurko Show, live from Heisman's in Naperville. We're on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
God, we love this time of year. Football in full swing. We're out and about so much this time of year, and we're glad to be out amongst the people.
Present.
Talking Bears, talking baseball.
Press.
Go ahead, you can talk.
I'm trying to, but I can't hear myself.
Oh, you can't hear yourself.
Now I can hear myself.
Yeah.
I thought my microphone wasn't
no,
on.
No, you're on.
Sitting there. Yeah, no, pressing the flesh, kid.
I love it. I love pressing the flesh.
Love to say hello to everybody. Have a good time.
It's autumnal outside. It's beautiful. It feels like football. It's a good shorts in a like a hooded sweatshirt kind of day,
oh, that's
which
exactly
we both have going
yeah.
on here. I like it.
I like your little bear outfit.
I like this new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Sharp.
Representing the Bears, the beloved.
It's not really a navy blue, but it's a blue nonetheless.
You know, I noticed when I bought it, I'm like, it's kind of a different color for, but it's Bears. I mean, you see, it's NFL approved.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Most definitely Bears. Yeah.
Chicago Bears approved.
Well, they're trying to get something, you know, where it changes the color a little bit instead of all the navy blue that you have out there.
Yeah.
That they changed the shade a little bit, but I think it's very becoming.
So today you can come see us downtown Naperville, right on the main strip here. We're right on Washington. We are just south of Jefferson, named after all the presidents around here.
They are, and it's a good
and
thing.
We're at Heisman's.
Madison, Monroe,
yeah,
Adams,
all
the greats.
Don't worry about it.
All the greats.
We are at Heisman's, and we're going to be here until about 2:30 or so. This is a great setup. I mean, you talk about a sports bar for Saturdays and Sundays in the fall. I mean, the TV's everywhere.
Look at the size of that thing.
Look at the behind the bar and up top and... I don't know if I need to see Chris Russo like that large.
No, nobody does.
If I need to see
nobody
him
does.
Dark.
I don't even think his wife wants to see him that close.
Quite that big, but no, the TV setup is great. And
and of course, they're talking about Aaron Judge. Why wouldn't they?
Well, listen, I thought he hit it last night, and I thought he walked him off, and they hit it to the warning track. I thought that was 61. The Yankees won an extra.
He's got WTP.
He's got WT.
Warning track power.
Warning track power. Yeah. He's got a little bit more than that, too.
Well, 60 times he's had better than that.
Yes, he has. We are, today, we are out and about with Keeper's Heart Irish American Whiskey. Look at this. Irish American.
I see that.
Bringing together two countries.
Keeper's Heart. Irish American Whiskey.
Two styles of whiskey.
What makes it Irish?
So there's... there's a Irish grain and Irish pot still whiskey in here.
And what else do we
American
have to do with
rye?
Triple distilled, right?
You triple distilled.
That's what makes Irish whiskey, triple distilled.
Yeah. I'm assuming it is. You're right, because normally it is triple distilled. And then there's some American rye whiskey in here. That's why it is Irish American whiskey. And I've had this Keeper's Heart. It's kind of new. It's really good.
I like to taste the combination of that. What's the next bottle, Carm, so that we know?
They have some bourbon, too. So, again, you've got some pot still whiskey with some bourbon.
We could make a old-fashioned with
we
that,
could.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think we absolutely
should. We order
could.
A couple of those up?
I think, yes.
Do you plan on opening that right now?
Well, maybe.
I mean, it looked like you were. It looks like you want to take a belt of it. And
maybe.
I'm not going to stop you if that's what you'd like to do.
But they have it behind the bar, so you can
beautiful.
Come sample it with your lunch.
Lovely.
They got killer lunch. I mean, my God, these chicken wings.
Yeah,
it's
chicken
like
wings.
They're not skimping. That's an actual chicken wing.
So I had a chicken thigh sandwich to start the day off.
It looked
so
good.
I was creeping on their Instagram, guys, and I suggest you get this out there.
What's that?
It looked like a donut, but it's a mac and cheese donut. It's fried mac and cheese donut. It looks like a donut,
Jesus,
but you open it up, and it's mac and cheese.
What do you want? Should we get one for the table? It sounds like something you get for the table and you split, doesn't it?
Right. There's a couple of them in the order, it looks like.
A couple of them in the order. I mean,
yeah, there's two in an order. That's what he's telling you. You split them in half.
All right, well, let's get one for the table. We'll split it up.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We're going to figure it out.
I don't know if we could have the whole thing just for ourselves. Danny Lynch thinks he maybe can. So, yeah, come see us here today, Heisman's, downtown Naperville, for a Football Friday. We will talk mostly football today. We're going to do McKnight at the Movies today, too, so we did skip it yesterday.
Yeah, we're not quite putting the dirt on the White Sox grave here today. I don't really want to sully my Friday.
Listen, I'm
thinking about football, college football, and professional football on Sunday. I do not want to sully my mood.
I don't either.
So if that's your plan of attack today, to talk about them, please don't.
No. All I was going to simply say was that the slow, painful march towards inevitability is like it really just
it's upon us
these last three nights on the south side. I mean,
it's
to go out with a whimper like that, it just you know, it was pretty
Tuesday,
sad.
I was there really
pretty sad.
I was the one that was putting, I was at the game that put the significant final blows on the body that was the Chicago White Sox campaign.
I think you're right.
I was there for that. I watched it happen.
You witnessed it.
Yeah. Witnessed it, then listened to it.
What are the Indians? I did it again. I don't know when.
Guardians.
Take
don't worry
me
about it.
The Guardians went what, like 12-9? Does that sound right against the Sox this year? Something like that. They were clearly better than the Sox.
They were good.
Clearly better when it mattered most down the stretch here.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate. It kind of sucks. But you're right. I don't want to sully the mood. It's football.
All right. Handshake now. We're done. Let's quit talking about these White Sox, please, for the love of everything.
When can we start again? Like in the offseason?
No, Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday we can talk about them again when we officially bury them.
I don't even know. I mean, I figured maybe for the next 2 weeks I don't know that we will. But
okay.
I'm with you. For the day, for today, we're done.
For the official burial, we'll play Taps. We'll play This Is the End into Taps.
That's cool.
And then we'll call it a day.
Sounds good.
They don't even get a 21-gun salute. They get nothing.
They get like an 11.
No, they don't even get 11.
They don't even get 11?
They don't even get Papa Shot. They don't get nothing. I can't say that.
You can't say Papa Shot?
Yeah, even though it's in reference to a gunfire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even though it's in reference to that, I still don't want to – I want to get away from saying that. So we'll just say we'll give them one like cap. Remember the cap guns you used to have as a kid?
Sure.
And it put that little red thing in with the gunpowder, and you'd hit them, and then it sounded like you were actually firing.
Yeah.
We'll give them one of those.
Yeah, so it's over, and, we won't talk about it for the rest of the day. Let's just talk football. I tell you, I was –
it's like the Green Mile for that team, dead team walking.
I had trouble with the rewind again last night. I haven't mastered that on Amazon Prime.
I didn't even try. It was on. It had no volume. And I was just watching it, watching the action, see what was happening.
I don't know what my internet speed is. I'm not all that technologically savvy.
What do you got, gigabytes? Nanohertz? What do you have,
for
kid?
What my cable bill is,
you'd think
that I have
the best in the world.
The highest speed.
75 Gs.
And then, everybody's all constant. All people do is insult anyway. Well, we'll get a new modem. Update that. The modem is new. The modem is 3 months old.
It's
is there another newer modem that I need now?
And if there was, why didn't they put it in?
I don't quite understand. I couldn't rewind it twice in the second half. It just stopped.
Yeah.
And then a big thing pops up on the screen from Amazon. We are having trouble. Try again later.
Now it's time to shop. That's what it says.
So I don't know.
The time to shop. If you buy $100 worth of stuff, the game will turn back on.
What exactly do people suggest I do? The modem's new. I would think because of my bill that the internet speeds are the fastest
in the history of mankind.
So what? Where am I failing exactly?
I think I know, Carm. I think that the best solution there in Cincinnati next week for Thursday Night Football, the best situation if you want a good view of Sunday night,
Thursday
Night Football, is go to Cincinnati. Yeah.
Wait, did anybody else have problems last night? Or
I got that error message you talked about during the pregame, but after that I was fine during the whole game.
I don't know.
The game for me was fine. No issues.
So what am I doing wrong?
I had no issues at all.
I don't get it.
And you know what? I was watching it, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to be with Carm tomorrow. I know he had a problem.
Yeah.
But I had nothing.
It was worse than last week.
Did you try to rewind?
I did.
No, I'm talking about Jake.
I didn't need to because I'll be on my phone and then I'll look up. Oh, Trubisky's there.
So you weren't watching as intently.
No, but it
was. Carm was watching with intent. You were just
smooth.
You were casually watching. Yeah. If you were on your phone and watching the game, you were a casual watcher. He was watching with intent, wanted to see something, tried to rewind.
Can't
do it. So you haven't pressed it into service yet. You haven't demanded of it yet.
Yeah, you haven't asked it to rewind.
I mean, I've done the pause and stop. That works.
Well, you haven't done the rewind.
I don't need a rewind.
I don't know. I just you went in, and anybody else that, God forbid, you mentioned that you might be having technical difficulty on Twitter, Hive comes after you.
Right. You might need fresh batteries if it don't rewind.
I don't know. They sling insults
They coming after you, Carm.
Well, get to everybody. Anybody,
you're an old man.
Anybody that might have the slightest hint of trouble with it, you know, you just get insulted.
You know, Carm, if you don't read social media, you never know you're being insulted.
Well, but sometimes you can make, I don't know. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. Should I call Comcast and be like, are my speeds not as fast as they should be?
I would call up, but make sure you take 3 hours. Because that's how long it's going to take to get a hold of somebody.
I just don't know what to do. I mean, like, so I don't
especially
know what
at peak hours.
You know, you get new equipment. It is new.
Yeah.
The TV's new. TV's the modem's new.
Smart one. It's smart one, right? Smart TV?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
This is what I did yesterday. I was at my buddy's house. We were playing cards last night, and so he gives me the remote control. I hit the microphone thing, and I said, Thursday night football.
You did this at your buddy's?
I did smart TV, and it switched to smart TV. Then I go, Thursday night football. And then, boom, it says you got to sign into Amazon Prime. Now, I had to click the button to get to Amazon Prime. I couldn't say click the button, go to Amazon Prime to talk to the remote feature that I like. And then it comes on there, and I just said, order Amazon Prime. And it didn't do anything. Then the guy had to take it over and do it. I thought I'd be able to talk my way through the whole damn thing. Code ZX, Zebra, X-Ray, Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Niner zero, you know? I thought that's what I'd be able to go with. I could not.
Is
our digital clock here today?
No, but I got
remember
it.
You requested one yesterday, no?
Jake's all over.
All right.
Most of the game was pretty good with a few little hiccups. The game itself, you know.
Left something to be desired. It was a Midwest Classic steal. The Rust Belt Rubies, you know, it was one of those.
Kind of, you know. Look, Mitch was okay. Mitch, on the drive after. Let's see. It was when the Browns had made it 23-17.
Right.
And they had to set. I'm sorry. It was 23-14. They settled for the field goal. But Mitch got them down the field. And Deontay Johnson dropped the pass that was a nice pass in the second half. But
oh, boy.
Mitch is still very up and down. Mitch is still Mitch. That's the problem.
That's why.
That's the problem in Pittsburgh. Mitch is Mitch.
You can never criticize as a player another player unless you play absolutely perfect. And I've never seen a player play perfect.
Of course not.
That's why players can't criticize other players.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, but you can.
I mean, Deontay Johnson, I get it. Let the coaches.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Let the coaches chew out. Let the pundits chew out the quarterback.
I see what you're saying.
Individual players can never chew out another
when
player
you're on
the team.
Yeah.
Because you've never played a perfect game.
Fair enough.
That's all. So.
You know, Mitch is Mitch. There are moments where, you know, you feel like you have some competency, but then there are mostly moments where you're just like, this isn't going to work. It's not good enough. Yeah. I know there's already a lot of buzz about maybe with the extra time now, and I had said this earlier in the week, if they're going to make a move, you'd think it'd be after. They're not going to do it on a short week. You would do it now that you have extra time to get ready for week four.
I'd go with Pickett. Pickett's real good.
I don't know that Tomlin is. I don't know that Tomlin is totally ready to do that just yet. He certainly wasn't going to announce it to the world after last night's game. That's not Mike Tomlin's style.
Yeah.
By the way, I love Mike Tomlin. Everybody knows our affinity on this show for Mike Tomlin. We both hold him in very high regard. I think most people who have watched football hold him in very high regard. You know, after the game, he had a great line last night. What did he say? Because he was trying to turn it into, don't blame just Mitch. He goes, this is
right, there's other players' faults.
And he said, we're in the business of winning. What did he say? The way he delivers his lines, he goes, we're in the business of winning, and tonight we didn't take care of business. That's why I love Mike Tomlin. Yeah. He's awesome. Who knows what they're thinking about internally and if they're going to make a change. But, yeah, it was just the game itself. It was a heavy dose of Nick Chubb, and he was awesome. You know, and Mitch at times looking good, and Mitch making a lot of mistakes, and the Steelers losing. The real killer was if you were in on the under early in the week when it was 40.5, Yurko, if you got in, that was long gone. With the win and everything else, it went all the way down to like 38.
38.
But if you were in early, under 40.5, it was 23-17, and then in the last second, the ball, as they're trying to ladder, like it's knocked into the end zone, and Cleveland falls on
right.
it, and the game goes over. That's a kick in the you-know-what if you had an under 40.5 ticket.
What do we call that? Not the backdoor cover. Not a backdoor cover.
Backdoor over.
Your buddy. Your buddy. Scott Van Pelt's got a segment
bad
on the
beat.
Show.
That's your bad beat.
Bad beat.
Yeah.
That's a bad beat.
You were sitting under 40.5, and the game was 23-17, and then here comes the laterals, and uh-oh, the Browns fall on the ball in the end zone. 312-332-3776. You want to talk football today. Thoughts on the Bears. We've got a lot of people already come up and say, guys, what do you think? Bears, they
got
to beat the Texans, right? Yurko's keys later on.
Keys.
We're going to tell you coming up next how you can join us in Dallas, how you can be one of the qualifiers at the very least. We'll kick off the contest for today coming up next. 312-332-3776. Plus, the refreshing sounds of Luke Getsy. We'll play you some stuff from the offensive coordinator coming up. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Heisman's in Naperville for Football Friday.
This is ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
We're live at Heisman's in downtown Naperville with Keeper's Heart Irish American Whiskey. Yes, the best of both worlds in one bottle. So come by and see us. Lots of football talk today. Mike North's bonus play a little bit later on. Yurko's keys to the game.
When you guys have odds couple.
Odds couple is up, man. We talked about the big games this weekend, some college, some pro. Got some ponies from Jim Miller, who the last 2 weeks is 6-0.
Oh, boy, he's hot.
6-0. Unbelievable. So download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Yeah, odds couple is ready and waiting. So is this week's Unhinged and all the other great original shows and all the great content on the ESPN Chicago app. We're still qualifying people to win one of just two exclusive trips to Dallas with us. In about a month, Halloween weekend, we're going to Big D. See the beloved. Take on the boys. You want to be there for that. I'm going to be doing a pub crawl with White Claw through Palatine tonight. JL's, TJ O'Brien's, and Lamplighter between 5 and 7. You can qualify at each bar, so come see me on the pub crawl through Palatine tonight. But you can qualify here on the air today and all next week. Just be listening for this.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Pee Wee Herman. Here goes looking at me like.
I was wondering when the hell it started.
Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Could I hear it again?
Yeah, Chris, can you play it one more time?
Well, it's not the cue to call now. So
right, yeah, this is not the cue to call now.
This is not the cue.
The stars at night are big and bright.
They do that at 5 o'clock in Texas.
The reason that I asked that, I thought it was somebody in here screaming.
No, that's
exactly Pee-wee. What I thought it was.
I go,
who the hell's yelling so
that's
loud
Pee-wee.
In here?
So when Pee-wee you hear Herman. It, when okay. you hear it later, be caller 10 and you will qualify.
I gotcha.
You will qualify to win one of the two trips that we are giving away. There's some other sound I want to play. I want to play some Luke Getsy. He was good. Like, he's kind of open.
He's very forward. He's very forward. He's going to let you know what he's thinking, yes.
Let's start with 4th and 1. Let's start with Luke Getsy talking about 4th and 1, which the Bears probably got hosed. I think the ball was across the plane, to be quite honest. Put a damn chip in the ball, for crying out loud. But a lot of people were critical and critiqued that. Like, why are you running shotgun at 4th and 1? Here's Luke Getsy talking about the 4th and 1 play in which they were in shotgun, and Fields ran the keeper last Sunday night.
Well, we love that play. Now, we didn't execute it properly. We for whatever reason, we kind of saw something. We were seeing a little ghost a little bit up front, so they were able to get penetration where we should have had two linemen on one to stop that penetration, which kind of got Lucas off a little bit instead of cleaning that gap, and then it would have just been Lucas with 59 in the hole, and then Justin, you know, still would have had to run through some contact, but no, we knew that was our plan. We talked about it all week. We went over every front that they present, and we had plenty of time. There was like a stoppage and play for the replay, right? And we're like, we knew what was coming, and that was exactly what we wanted. We just didn't execute it well enough, and again, we got to get them coached up a little bit better so that they don't make that mistake.
Very honest, you know, hey, we missed something, and it's as simple as that. If we would have executed it, it would have worked. I think Waddle made the point yesterday.
If you block it.
Yeah, and I think Waddle was making the point. You do see it a lot with these big athletic quarterbacks now, like Justin Fields. The Ravens do it a lot with Lamar Jackson. The Bills do it a lot with Josh Allen. So, like, they just didn't execute it. I don't love it, but okay. I mean, he gave it to you. How about this one? This was good. You want to talk about just – like putting it out there. This is on what happened on the deep ball that they missed to Darnell Mooney. Like, where was the miscommunication? What happened there when it looked like he had a chance for a big chunk play down the field to Darnell Mooney? Listen to Luke Getsy.
Mooney didn't have great detail with the route. Where the landmark where you're trying to hit that thing was way off to where from where he was. Justin could have helped him by throwing him over to that point. So that part of it, you know, the two of them, you know, just not executing that necessarily at the highest level right there. But something that, you know, we took it, we learned from it, we studied it a bunch this week and make sure everyone's on the same page, not just Mooney, but for whoever else might be in that situation the next time.
I mean, Matt Eberflus won't tell you a damn thing, and that's fine. That's his want. He has his style of what he wants to say to the media. Like,
he's the head coach.
When it doesn't really matter. He's the head coach. Like, it's fine. But, I mean, wow. Like, good for Luke Getz. He's like, yeah, that's just really bad. That's really bad on our quarterback and on our wide receiver. That's what that is.
I mean, like, just basically
telling you, we got to get better.
Yeah.
And here's Luke Getsy on why so few pass attempts. He's, you know, he kind of reiterates what a little bit of what Courtney Cronin was telling us yesterday. When you really start breaking down the game and the numbers, the issue is they just didn't run enough plays because they were so bad offensively. Here's Luke Getsy talking about why there were so few pass attempts in the game Sunday night.
I mean, we only had 42 plays, called 19 or 20 passes, so that was pretty spot on to where we how we wanted to play that game. I think what it was, the total attempts, it's a little while ago, was it 11 or 12 total attempts? Yeah, but like his touchdown was a pass play that he just that he took and made something happen. The play right before the fourth and one was a pass play that he took and ran, you know. So I think it's part of it that I know that, you know, it's the NFL. Everyone's throwing it 30, 40 times a game, but we only had 42 snaps. And when you run the ball the way that we did, I think you have to make sure you're running the ball too. So that's part of it. We get, and it's our job, you know, as each week as we evaluate the opponent, what gives us the best chance to succeed and where are our matchups favorable to us. And obviously last week we felt like, you know, there was parts of the run game that we felt like we had a pretty good matchup and we were able to get 7 explosives. That's a lot of explosives in the run game.
So, you know, his point is, listen, we were about at a 50-50 split, and we were running the ball well. So, okay, you know, you got to be better offensively where you're running more than 42 plays.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that's a big part of the problem.
That you have to do. And the three and outs.
Yeah, terrible.
Just out, 9 plays in the second quarter, and that was it, and that's all you had. And then the one play before the end of the
right, that
half,
doesn't even count.
It barely counts. You know?
Said it. You had it Monday morning. You said you gave the stat about it. The total number of plays they run in the first 2 weeks.
That many plays will not lead you to be a winning team. Now, I can go point to the defense and say, why the hell aren't we getting off the field?
Right.
You know, so it's a twofold equation here when you take a look at it. The offense needs to stay on, then the defense needs to get themselves off the field.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is the defense is not getting off the field. So you ask me what I was most disappointed in. I was most disappointed in the way the defensive line played.
Right.
And because the defensive line played poorly, it opened everybody else up to criticism.
Roquan, Kyler Gordon.
So much to the point Roquan can't play anymore. How about that?
Yeah, it seems like we have.
They played so poorly that they allowed themselves to get to Roquan, and Roquan was just humiliated in that game. Okay? And now maybe after his pride's been bruised, maybe it's getting less bruised.
Although he's missed practice twice this week.
I know. Called it a hip, but I think it was his pride. Maybe he can get back in there and he can play. But I'd like to see the defensive line play a whole lot better. If the D-line plays a whole lot better, I think the overall defense is going to play a whole lot better, and they get themselves off on third down. That's what you need. They can't get off the field. That's not going to make a difference.
So that's a good point. I mean, you're right, Yerk. Like, you got a little bit of a combination of both, maybe.
Right.
But you got to start being more efficient, and you got to sustain some drives here. Too many three and outs. They've run so few plays. We told you earlier in the week the Bears have the fewest number of first downs in the NFL through 2 weeks. They have the fewest number of passing first downs by far. They have 6 passing first downs. The next worst team has 13 passing first downs. It is just really bad. And then you combo that on a night where the other team runs for 200-plus yards, right? Or what is it? It was about 200 yards,
wasn't it? It was up there, like 190.
And they had the ball for as long as they did. You run 42 plays, you know, it's just not a lot. It's not enough. Getsy's point was, hey, we were still pretty close to 50-50, and we can live with that.
Yeah.
You got to run more than 42 plays. Tough to win in this league if that's all you're
right.
Running.
The defensive effort and the offensive effort, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And what'd you lose by? 14 points? 17 points? 27-10.
Yeah, it was 27-10 was the final.
Yeah, so you lose by 17 points. You had a chance to make it 24-17.
Probably
it would have looked better than it was.
Right.
Besides that second quarter, I mean, it was a ball game up until the second quarter. In the second quarter, they just got devastated.
It was awful.
Devastated.
I mean, it was awful.
I mean, that's the type of quarter you get dominated in that questions anything that you're doing as a football team.
We went back and watched that, and, I mean, it is. That was a rough 15 minutes of football.
On
both sides of the ball.
It reminded you of the worst of what the Chicago Bears have been over the course of the last 10
really
years.
Yeah, it was really bad.
The worst of the worst. The double 50 burgers that were put on the Bears' defense.
Yeah.
You know, when what's his name was the coach here?
Trestman. Yeah, it was really bad.
Other times when you're just being dominated, or when the New York Giants are hitting Jay Cutler in the melon.
Remember,
10 times?
Yeah. We're sat 8 times in the first half, whatever it was.
Yeah, 9 times sacked, and finally you know, they just knocked him, you know,
concussed
to the point where he couldn't see straight.
All right, coming up next, we saved it for Friday, Yurko. We're going to do McKnight at the movies. Yurko has his keys in about 45. We're talking Bears and Texans, week three in the NFL. 312-332-3776. But we'll have some fun with McKnight at the movies coming up next.
Welcome to Football Friday. Brought to you by Keeper's Heart Irish American Whiskey and Alta Equipment. It's the Carmen and Yurko Show live from Heisman's in Naperville for Football Friday on ESPN Chicago. McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
The movies for today. Normally we do it on Thursday, but hey, let's mix it up every once in a while. We're out and about Heisman's in downtown Naperville with Keeper's Heart. I'll tell you a little bit more about Keeper's Heart Irish American Whiskey in a few minutes, but let's play McKnight at the Movies. We play along with you. We don't know the movies Connor selected, the scenes that he's doing here, so it's always fun. It's always a surprise for us. Make sure you watch on Twitch, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app and just search ESPN 1000 in Chicago. So it's brought to you, as always, by the Village of Elmwood Park. What's the winner getting today, Abdallah?
The winner will be getting a gift card to Russell's Barbecue.
Ooh, nice. It's a classic. Everybody that grew up in that part of Chicagoland loves Russell's. They got one by me in LaGrange now, too. So the original is right there in Elmwood Park.
Beautiful.
So gift card for Russell's Barbecue. Sounds good. And what do you say? Should we jump right in, Yurk? Let's fire it away.
I think we should.
Here's clue one. McKnight.
Our scene opens on a coffee shop, one of those suburban neighborhood joints that want to make you feel like you're in Italy while you're actually right next to a laundromat. The exterior shot cuts to interior, and we see our two characters arrive at the counter to place their order. It's a busy spot, and the over-exuberant barista greets the couple, asks for their order, and here comes trouble.
I think I know it. It's I'm gonna write it.
I think I do.
I'm blanking on the name. It's
here it is.
Say it again.
No,
your lips.
Yeah,
it's
sorry.
I mean, I'm looking at the two actors. I'm just
well, if you share some of the actors with me, I might be able to get it for you.
That's it.
Let's see it.
That's it.
Okay.
I think I've got it. Let's play. If you know it, first correct caller 312-332-3776.
Yeah, I think you have.
I think
it.
I've got it. Let's go to clue two.
A bit on our actors. The lead male has popped up in this bit a few times. Dare say he's a favorite of yours truly, despite his baseball team. He's a frequent and early collaborator with this film's director, another favorite of your humble narrator. His love interest, ordering alongside, incidentally, is also a frequent collaborator with this movie's director. And this film isn't the first time these two have played a couple while directed by the same guy. You've seen the barista in things but wouldn't know her. She's been in a ton of great comedies and that one with Pete Davidson.
All right, sorry, we're just adjusting a few things here on site because we're getting terrible feedback out of one of the speakers, so we're a little distracted. Let's play part three.
Back to our scene. As the two order, confusion ensues. It's born of corporate buzzwords, marketing nonsense, and a genuine disdain for people, as exhibited by our main man. Even while being cruel, though, he's got the charm to seem kind, but the barista has seen through his act. She's called him out, and just before things turn into a real scene, his girlfriend steps in and pulls him aside. She's got a problem with his attitude lately, and it's tough to say she's wrong. She's had enough of his sarcasm and obstinance, and looks like she's ready to leave him right here in the coffee shop. She's got one more point to make before she leaves, though, and it brings the whole scene full circle. You see, venti is Italian for 20, and it's stuff like that that our guy keeps ignoring at his own expense.
It's great. Venti, 20, really? I love this movie, actually. And what's her name? Jane Light? Is that her
Jane
name?
Jane Austen.
Not Jane Austen. She really steals the whole thing. She's great.
All Lynch. Right.
Jane Lynch. I'm sorry, not Jane Light. Thank Lynch. You. Yeah. Thank you, Adam. She's a Chicago native.
Yes, she
Jane
is.
Jane Lynch, she's so unbelievably funny in this movie.
She is a funny lady.
I mean, she's really, really good. It's just marvelous. Let's go to the phones. Who's our winner, Adam?
Let's go to Gil in New Lenox.
Gil in New Lenox, tell us the movie.
Role Models, baby.
Role Models, yeah.
Yeah, Carmen had it.
Pretty early on.
Carmen had it, I guess.
Wonderfully done.
Cable guy was not correct.
No, cable guy
was not correct. That's what I was trying to whisper to Carmen.
Now, that's another great comedy that I love. One of the all-time great dark comedies.
Oh,
I'm a big fan of that. So, sure. Connor, thank you. Well done. Let's listen to the reveal.
Good morning. Can I take your order?
Can I get a tall chai?
A large black coffee.
A what?
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
He means a venti. Yeah, the biggest one you got.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20.
Danny.
Yeah. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
Look, Dick, venti is a large coffee.
Really? Says who? Fellini?
How much is that? Here's a 10.
Do you accept lira, or is it all
euros?
You
know what? Keep the change. Jesus, Dan, you know what they call sizes here. You know what? You've been picking fights with everybody. The girl at the party.
She said ASAP.
Oh, ASAP. Oh, I'm sorry. Huge crime.
It's like 24-7 or been there, done that. You hate that, too.
I don't hate it enough to let it ruin my day. It's getting worse. You know, man, the sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life. I can't stand it anymore. You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody. And FYI, it's called a venti because it's 20 ounces. 20. Venti.
Is that true?
True. Paul Rudd plays that character perfectly. All right, so there you go. Role models on this Friday. We'll play again next week.
That's a good one, Carl.
Yeah, it's a real good one. This Keeper's Heart that we're drinking here today, and they're passing some samples around, so you can come by and grab some Keeper's Heart Irish American.
It's funny, when you and I saluted ours, I did mine, and you kept yours just there.
Well, I'm going to because I have an old-fashioned.
I got you.
This is with Keeper's Heart. This is the rye and the Irish put together. This is the Irish American, and it makes a really good old-fashioned. So I will. I'll get to it. I mean, you know, I got time, don't I?
I thought you cheated me on it. What do you think? Oh. What's the nose say?
So I like this one. I tried it about a month ago for the first time. It's relatively new to the market. And they built this big, beautiful distillery in Minnesota. I haven't been there, but I've seen it. And it's gorgeous. I mean, like this big multi-million-dollar distillery.
Here, let me.
I like the Irish and the rye one because I like the spicy rye that goes with like that pure pot still gives you real fruity like pear orchard fruit.
I can smell the leprechauns popping off of this.
You smell it? You smell like a does it smell like leprechaun's BO?
Oh yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
But I think
get,
it
like,
could be.
Like orchard fruit from the pot still Irish and then like the spiciness. So you get some fruit and some spice.
You get a little bit of both.
Yeah,
combo.
You really do. You
nice
get like
combo.
You get like a little caramel and some honey, and they're really, really nice. Actually, I like them. I'm a big fan. But this one makes a great old fashioned.
How do you like the bottles? I mean, you're a fan of the bottles and what they come in. I mean, you're a big fan of that. When you when you appreciate a good bottle, I mean, I can sit. You can talk for days about it.
No, it's a good looking bottle, right? Yeah. I mean, like the label's cool with the keys. I don't know the significance of the keys.
I think it's got its own shape, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
Carm, if you think about it, it's the key to the heart.
Yeah, maybe
right?
Keeper's Heart.
Right? Keeper's Heart, keys to your heart.
Look at you, dude.
I mean, it's not that much of a stretch.
You're like a you're.
I haven't read
you're
one
a poet
thing.
Warrior. Dude.
I haven't read one thing about it, but I'm just guessing that might be. You know.
Oh, and then look, the top of the keys. I just noticed this. They're shaped like hearts.
Yep.
You nailed it, man.
That's what
you're
I did.
You're a poet warrior.
And is that a clock behind there?
It is. What do you think the clock is signifying?
I think the clock signifies that love will conquer all over the course of time. I mean, here you go.
That's
what I see. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but it's what I see.
And then they got a couple of Gaelic words on here. I don't know what those are. I don't think
thank heavens it's not a K there, Carm, but it says Fugit. Fugit. Let me see the other side. Fugit and, oh my heavens. Hora.
I don't know what the
Fugit and Hora.
I don't know what the Celtic is on there, but we like it anyway. But yeah, it's a beautiful looking bottle. I like the little bulb on the top here.
Yeah, that's very nice.
The bottles have to look good on your bar. It's important, man.
That's very bulbous.
Yeah, it is. Like a little bulbous
on
the top. Yeah. So get come on by, and they're pouring some free samples.
Beautiful.
You can taste it and have an old fashioned.
I've ordered an old fashioned here. I think it's coming on the Pony Express.
I think maybe they're going to Ireland to get it for you.
I think so. I mean, my heavens.
You can make, they recommend Keeper's Highballs. I love a good highball. You can do a neat on the rocks, old fashions, Manhattans. And then they've also got a mule. They got the Irish mule going. Everybody does mules these days. Everybody wants a mule.
I'm not surprised.
Hey, strike while the iron's hot. Capitalize where you can. We'll talk more Bears and Texans. Yurko's.
Speak of the devil.
Ask and you shall receive, my friend.
Our girl Emmy, top prize tonight here. Our girl Emmy.
Come by and see us at Heisman's. We're doing our Football Friday show all day here today. We'll cross talk with Waddle and Sylvie a little over an hour from now, but more breakdown coming up on Bears and Texans as we roll into week 3 in the NFL. Yurko made me promise we're not going to talk about the White Sox.
No White Sox, so no more. We talked about them early. We said
they're dead. That's it.
We gave you a thumbnail on the Chicago White Sox, and we have moved on.
And we move on. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Carmen, the good kid talking Bears heading into the weekend. What could be finer than Football Friday? Now back to the show live from Heisman's in Naperville on ESPN Chicago.
Yeah, this place is great. Heisman's downtown Naperville, right on Washington and Jefferson, downtown, a little bit south of Jefferson, just a few doors down. So
oh, yeah, it's
come
downtown.
See us right downtown. We got Keeper's Heart, Irish American Whiskey. For everybody, you got some samples. We got some swag and stuff over here, so come by and see us. Food's great.
Yep, we got plenty.
TVs are on. What a place to watch football on Saturdays and Sundays, right?
Sure, it's absolutely fantastic. I got to acknowledge what we have here.
What do we have here?
We've got members of, they were runner-ups last year in Division III football. They're number one team in Division III this year.
North Central College.
North Central College. Yeah. We got some members of the coaching staff here today. We say welcome aboard, boys. And I have you all know the history. The head coach there last year was Jeff Thorne.
Right.
An Eastern Illinois product.
That's correct. Yes. I knew that.
He has moved on to Western Michigan to become the offensive coordinator up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
There. And he just played his son, was the quarterback, Peyton Thorne. For Michigan State.
Correct.
So it's a little familial. So it's nice to see, you know, where he had gotten some of his coaching roots done there, but now the coaching staff is up here, so we acknowledge these guys. We congratulate them.
And came out.
Hopefully better luck this year in the championship game because it didn't go so well last year.
That's D3, man. That's good. It's North Central's right down the street.
Right down the street,
too, so the kids are always
I played
around.
The high school all-star game there.
Did you really?
Yeah, circa 1985, high school all-star game.
Well, I didn't even live in Naperville yet. We still lived in Berwyn back then.
I'm not surprised.
I can't imagine how different things looked around these parts back in 1985.
Yeah, it was a north-south game. It was just the city kids up the north border all the way to the south. 55 separated us, north 55 on one team, south 55 on the other.
Nice, man.
And it was interesting because we played at Hinsdale South, and even though we're south 55, we still were at Hinsdale South, which is north 55.
It is north of 55.
Maybe they cut it off at 88. That's what it was. They cut it off at 88. Everything north to 88.
That could be.
Everything south to 88. It's a nice game. North-south game. It's nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Lovie comes back. This will be the third time the Bears face Lovie. They faced him once at home when he was the coach of Tampa. They faced him once in Tampa. Bears are 2-0 straight up and against the spread against Lovie. He doesn't come in with a very good football team. He really doesn't. It's an offense kind of like the Bears. It hasn't done a whole heck of a lot, especially the last five quarters they've played.
Teams in flux right now. That's what you have.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, who do you give the advantage to? I mean, if I'm going to give the advantage to the quarterback position, I think I'd rather I'd give a slight advantage to Davis Mills.
I think yes, but I still would rather bank on the upside of Justin Fields.
I've got you, but what we're talking about is reality. We're not talking about upsides.
I think
what
Davis
I'm saying is who's the better quarterback right now?
It's probably Davis.
A little bit of an edge.
Although he's been terrible on the road.
I got you. Would we wash at the running game? Would we say both teams are willing to run and can run the ball equally?
I'd say the best running back in the game is on the other team. But that doesn't really matter because, as you pointed out, if you're doing things properly and you have an offensive line that can run block, you're going to run the football. You can do it with those five and a talented back and scheme just as well as, you know, you could do it with Derrick Henry, whatever. I think they have the best running back. Damian Pierce is good.
It's negligible is the difference between the two.
Negligible.
And then when you put it in priorities of what will be the big difference makers? I think the running game goes down to the bottom, right? It's the quality of the quarterback.
Totally.
The quality of the passing game, move the ball up and down the field. If I've got to solidify a victory, I solidify it with the running game late, holding on to the football. That's what
Who's
we're
got the better
about.
Defense? I think the Bears.
I think the Bears have the better defense.
They didn't show it last week,
no,
but I think the Bears have the better defense.
No, they did not. I mean, what they showed you was they're porous, and it's their own fault.
Yes.
It's not what people are doing against them. It's their own fault. They're running out of the gaps. They're flying all over the place for no apparent reason. Never confuse activity with accomplishment.
Right.
They look active. They look like they're flying all over the place, but they're not accomplishing anything. So and don't go anywhere fast. You remember my theory, Clark?
I know. I love
that. Don't go anywhere fast because they're taking you someplace only to cut it back. So control the man in front of you, discard him when it's necessary, and go make plays. That's what it's all about. And then special teams is negligible, too. punter, long snapper, holder, yeah, kicker, blah, blah, blah. I had somebody yelling at me about Devin Hester the other day. One of the pundits, you know, one of the guys that loves him. And it came up the other day because 114 guys, Peanut Tillman, Olin Cruz, Lance Briggs, and Devin Hester have made the 114 names.
And they keep winnowing
and
down.
And then they'll whittle that down to 25, and then we'll be presented with the 25, and then we'll have that nauseating conversation about number 23 in the Hall of Fame, which I know is inevitable.
Accepted. He's gone.
Harm, it's inevitable.
It's a celebration of football.
How long did Dan Hampton wait to get in the Hall of Fame?
Way too long.
Okay, that's my point.
How long did Art Monk wait?
If he waits as long as them, that makes me happier.
That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it just makes me. Every year he has to wait makes me happy. And then when he eventually goes in, that'll make me happy too.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not.
Well, get ready because it's going to be in January.
But I would hope that Peanut Tillman, right? I hope that Peanut Tillman is better.
Do you think Peanut, like, because of the... I feel like when Peanut retired, there wasn't as much...
Love for him.
Love for Peanut as there is now. Like, I feel like it's built over the years as the ball punch has become so popular and players do it more and more, and it's something that they teach young
kids. He did it so well.
He was like, I feel like the case for Peanut is slowly but surely building in a way that I'm not sure I ever thought it would build. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you would have asked me when he retired, I would have said, nah, Peanut's like more of like, we love him here and he was great, but probably not a Hall of Famer. I don't think he'll get enough, you know, nobody will fight for him enough where he's ever going to get in. And now all of a sudden I feel like all these years later, he might get in. Like there's a case building for him.
I think the people that know would take a look at his forced fumbles, something that was not done a lot at the defensive back position. He, in essence, created a new value.
He did.
He created a new value. It's not simply interceptions. It's also forcing those turnovers. And he had the ability. In essence, you compare him to a defensive end.
I know. It's amazing.
The amount of turnovers that he forced, you have to compare him to a defensive end.
It's just
because that's
many.
What he was doing. So how do you do that? You know, when they say he's the best at doing what at his position.
He truly was.
I mean, Peanut Tillman did that. Now, he may not have been a pure cover corner,
right?
And he may not have blown anybody out of the water that way, but even the best have had. Rod Woodson had Sterling Sharp beat him by 25 yards. Okay? So, I mean, it's not like the best players have never been beat.
I've seen Jalen Ramsey get beat, believe it or not.
So, I'm going to have a passionate plea for anybody to make Peanut the Hall of Fame, I'm going to go with Peanut number one, Olin number two. Then I'll argue Devin's case.
Okay.
And then I'll jump down to Lance Briggs if people want me to. I'll make a case for Lance Briggs to be in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
But it's in that order.
In that order.
In that order.
If you got a thought, 312-332-3776. Bears, Texans, anything else in week three? Yurko's Keys in about 15 minutes. We're live at Heisman's in downtown Naperville with Keeper's Heart. Irish American Whiskey. Come by and see us on a Football Friday. We're back in 2 minutes.